All right. Well, I'm joined with the one and only Jade Eagleson. How's everything going, Jade?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, it was a bit of a rough start to the day, but my mini mullet era is on a positive spin since it happened. So.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, the mini mullet era. I decided I'd let the listeners decide what I was going to do with my hair, whether keep growing it, cut it short, or I gave them the mullet option. And since my hair wasn't all that long to begin with, it's kind of a mini mullet.
Hey, it'll get there, man. I remember having mine lobbed off like years ago, and this is the only time I never had it, but it grew back like 2 months, isn't it? If it's meant to be, it will be. Trust me.
There you go. Yeah, when my hair grows long, it naturally becomes a mullet. So I don't know if it just knows my prairie roots, but...
Oh, yeah. my son's like that. Like, his hair grows longer in the back, and it's got like this nice natural curl to it. So my wife and I, Marina, we're like, you know what? We'll let this ride out, and it looks great. I'm jealous of him. His mullet looks great.
Is he using it to pick up the neighbor's wife or what?
he's quite a flirt, so he probably does.
Well, your current song at radio right now is Rodeo Queen. It's top 20. How do you, that's an awesome song. I love it from the first second I heard it. How'd that one come about as you co-wrote it with Daryl Scott?
Yeah, it's funny enough, he's sitting right beside me. We're about to go golfing. So he's down in Nashville, and we're watching Yellowstone, and like Marina was like, hey, like, you guys should, you know, write a song about rodeo. And because we were talking about like just trying to write a song for women that wasn't like this kind of something that hasn't been done before. So as soon as she said that, we went upstairs the following morning and came out with that one. And it was like, it's so much fun to write and so much fun to record. So the whole process of this song in general has just been an absolute blast. And it's really true to who I am as an artist and my sound. So I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, and you seem to be taking things back to more of a 90s country sound. What sort of led to that?
It's what I've always been really passionate about. And, you know, as soon as I feel like there's kind of a wave of that coming back. So as soon as, like, we thought that was going to be the case, I was like, you know, like let's jump on this. Let's do this. And we also now are able to record with a full live band in the studio. So, you know, in previous years, we've just had kind of parts shipped in based on budget. But, you know, we've been really blessed to have this project grow. And now we're able to get these session players. People that I've been huge fans of for years and years and years are now playing on my new records. And it's been really, really cool.
So is the fiddle player's name actually Larry, or did you just happen to throw out the name Larry for the fiddle player in the song?
It's Larry. Larry Franklin is his name. And he's played on tons of stuff. Like I use him, Janae Fleener, and Stuart Duncan, and those are the kind of fiddle players I cycle between depending on who's available. And they've all played on some really incredible music and just are heroes at what they do.
So I'm going to guess we're going to hear that one Saturday night at the Beer Garden event over at the Grand Prairie Stompede this weekend?
You absolutely will.
So say, it'd kind of be a bit of a missed opportunity. Your song's Rodeo Queen and you're not playing it at the rodeo? That's a little odd.
I know. We're definitely playing it, and it's so fun to play that one live, just because it's like gives you full warrant to go out and two-step and kind of like go crazy in a country way. So it's really fun.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I got to ever see you perform was back, I want to say 2018, the Rockin' Horse. It was the day of the elevator incident, I like to call it.
That's right.
With you were opening for the Rec Laws, Emily Reed was on the bill as well. And just to see sort of you at the CCMA sort of fan fest that year, even the CCMA fan fest the next year, and just the difference over time and how you've evolved in your live performances, because you were a little more stagnant, and at the CCMAs this year, you were basically bouncing off the walls during Shaking in Them Boots.
Oh, yes. I kind of like was always really nervous. I have the worst stage fright, but I've kind of been able to, like, some part of me is like, okay, as soon as I get on the stage, I'm this guy now. And as long as I can convince myself of that, it's a fun show. But I get terrified. Back then I was like, I was still working on the farm and stuff. And, it was kind of hard to believe that I was in that position. But now that it's I've been spending more years doing it, it's more comfortable for me, and it's definitely helped the live show in a big way.
So now I first got the chance to interview you. You were my first ever interview I've ever done at a media row back in 2019. So it's a nice little full circle moment here. And back then I remember asking you how you managed to stay humble. How do you continue to be humble even after now, like 3 years later, you're even bigger than before?
I honestly think it's like, I don't know, I don't think there's much room for any egos or anything in this industry, especially living in Nashville. I mean, I always say this, and it's a quote I've worn out, but it's like you can throw a stone down Broadway and hit five people, hopefully without getting charged, but that are better singers, better singers and players, and probably better looking than you. So just, I don't know, you take all these opportunities and count them as blessings, because, you know, this is something that any of us that are in this industry are privileged to do, to go out and do what you love every day and call it work. Is a blessing, and it really is. So it's always fun for me to just go out and do this thing, and I'm really passionate about it. So it's easy.
So how has it been being mustacheless now for some time, or has it grown back?
I think I'm gonna keep it off. I like eating my food once and not later in the day as well. So it's a little cleaner.
Oh, as I remember, I met Daryl, and your dad kept running into him, and your dad just was not a fan of that mustache. Man, geez.
No, he's most certainly not. But I think it's probably because he can't grow one, is my, I'm assuming that's what it is.
So you also just released a song out there, Honky Talkin'. How'd that one come about for you?
Well, that one was sent over to me by another artist, I'm sure you know, Griffin Palmer.
Yeah.
And Griffin's been writing down in Nashville for quite a long time now. He's been there, I want to say, 4 or 5 years, just doing his thing. And he sends songs over sometimes, and that one really just caught my attention. I think he was going to try and pitch it to John Party or something like that. And I'm glad it didn't work out, because now I got it.
Well, you seem to have some good songwriting friends down there, whether it be Daryl, or you've done songs from the James Barker Band that James Barker wrote. That was Shaking in Them Boots, if I'm not mistaken. Now Honky Talkin'. You got some good connections going.
It's pretty awesome, honestly. It's like you try and write as many as you can, but I'm never above listening to a song and saying, hey, like, this really fits the catalog and what we're trying to do. And it's worked out really great for me, you know, a few times. So it's really awesome to be able to do that.
Now, I saw on your social media you went curling recently. How'd that go for you?
Not so great. As speaking about Griffin, he was just really great. I don't know if he's, I feel like he's practiced before or something and just kind of showed up and acted like he's never done it, but he was, him and his girlfriend Madison, they're both way too good to be doing it for the first time, as they say. quotation marks around that one. I don't trust that that was their first time.
I was going to say, we got a work team up here in Peace River. You actually might fit in.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was not great. My wife was pretty good. She's getting the hang of it at the end.
Oh, there you go. Now, one thing, just because the Hot Country Nights have managed to show up again, I'm curious, if you were to have sort of an alter ego name, what would it be?
Oh, that's tough. That's very tough. I don't know why I do this, but like I have, you know, the Princess Bride, that old movie with Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
I have all my like usernames on stuff is just Inigo Montoya. I'm not even a major, major fan of the movie, but I love that character. So maybe that will be it. I'll have to change a few things around. Inigo Montana. That's it. There we go. That's it.
Oh, so at least now you have the name. So you're ready. If, Douglas Doug Dougson picks up the phone and calls you, or his manager Dirks does. So,
oh man, that would be amazing. I love those guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, Jade. And I can't wait to get in to see you perform this coming weekend at the Grand Prairie Stampede.
Can't wait to see you, man. It's going to be a blast.